We want to welcome you to the goodnewsjesuschrist.org. I'm Martin Williams. Today we're continuing our synopsis on Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 is a very important part of this epistle here because there's a lot of attention that it gains as a result of Israel in Romans 9, Romans 10, and Romans chapter 11. So we're going to spend a little bit extra time here to kind of clarify a few things contextually so there's not any confusion, because this is kind of a large chapter too. And getting started, Paul says, hey, has God cast away Israel and his people? No, I'm of the tribe of Benjamite, you know, and God has saved me. And then he gives the example of the Old Testament of Elijah. Whenever he's fleeing and he's in a cave and he's alone, he's saying, I'm the only one left alone, Lord, and there's none else that you saved besides me. And Baal and Jezebel, Asherah, they're killing off everybody, and he's fleeing to the hills and he's in there by himself. And then God gives him a word and says, hey, Elijah, I still got 7,000 people who haven't bowed their knee to Baal that I've reserved. And Paul goes on to state here, and just like God has reserved those, he's got a remnant that he's going to reserve too in this time. So he kind of finishes this section off with that aspect right there. And then he talks about engrafting in the believers and through faith. And he talks about how there are the believers that are of the natural tree, and then there are believers that who are not of that tree by nature, but God grafted them into that tree. So let's read a little bit of this, because he refers to us as branches and then being grafted into the actual work of God. So he says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should not fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. So he goes on to talk about that he wants to provoke them to jealousy, the Jews, and that salvation came to the Gentiles. And we know in Acts chapter 10 through Cornelius that, and then the sheet that God showed Peter with the four-legged creatures and saying, don't call unclean what I've cleansed, that he actually brought salvation to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. So that's what he's referring to right there. And he goes on to say, for if you cast away of them that are being reconciled of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, then the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. So the point he's making is that he provoked Israel to jealousy, he brought the Gentiles into faith, he grafted them who were not by nature natural trees because they didn't have the law, and through faith to the tree, and he makes them holy. And he goes on to give the analogy of obviously the lump being holy, the root being holy, and then the branches being holy, and those that are grafted in, whether Jew or Gentile, through faith, that they are made holy because of the tree, which is Christ, so to speak. So if some of the branches were broken off, thou being a wild tree, so that others would be grafted in among them to be able to partake of the root of the fatness of the olive tree. But boast not against the branches, for if God did not bear them, obviously, who were of the natural tree, then he won't bear you too, unless you continue in faith. But well said, that they were broken off because of unbelief, but he says that you stand by faith too, so don't be high-minded, so that you can be spared yourself. And in other words, continue in the goodness of God, continue in faith, and remain in the tree is the point he's making here. So I'm not going to get off on the context of arguing this idea of whether or not a person can be saved or not be lose salvation or not lose salvation. It's pretty evident here that a person can lose their salvation and be regrafted in again, contrary to what people might teach, but that's what it says. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed that he may also spare not thee. But behold, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but towards thee goodness, who are grafted in. But he's referring to those that fell, that are not grafted in, that don't believe, if you continue in his goodness. Okay, so they're grafted in. If they continue in his goodness, they remain. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. So, it's pretty plain and simple here. It's in English. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. Well, it's saying that they could be grafted in again if they abide not in unbelief. So, for God is able to graft them in what? Again. Again. So, for if thou were cut off of the olive tree, which was wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to the nature and to the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which are natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So, he's making a case that, yes, you know, God's salvation obviously is still available to Israel, even though he's provoked them to jealousy and brought the Gentiles in. But giving the Gentiles actual clue and stating, hey, don't be hardy, because he didn't spare the natural branch who didn't come to him by faith, but there was a promise that they could come in by faith, but he brought you in to provoke them to jealousy. But if you're hardy, you can fall into unbelief and be cut off too. So, but if you continue in the goodness, you remain in. He's able to bring them in, is the point he's making here, talking about Israel, obviously. So without going into too much more detail there. But what I wanna look into here is this phrase here, because this is a very important phrase in verse 25. It says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of the mystery." I refer to the mystery in the previous chapter, chapter 9. "Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that the blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in," which they came in Acts chapter 10. So, "all Israel shall be saved, as it is written." Now, it says all Israel shall be saved, but remember in chapter 9, that it says that not all of Israel is Israel, and he makes a similar statement here about Israel's salvation in 9, in the verse right before that statement in chapter 9. But he clarifies that "there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and they shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant unto them, and I will take away their sins." Now, it's important to understand that Jacob's mentioned here. Jacob was mentioned in chapter 9, and he said, "Esau I hated, and Jacob I loved." And we understand what the context of that analogy was. The unregenerated man, the regenerated man, the second born, those that are born again, like Jacob being the second born twin that came out and received the promise through faith, through the seed, Jesus Christ. So it's funny that he's actually talking about the deliverer coming out of Zion, obviously being Jesus Christ, the seed singular, and that in his seed shall the nations be blessed. Jacob, the second born, received the inheritance, the born again man, according to the seed of Jesus Christ, being born by faith from the head of a spiritual race. Jesus Christ being the second Adam, the head of a spiritual race, were born again of the Spirit, become co-heirs with him. Very plain, very clear when you look at things contextually. And in chapter 2, he also talks about Israel being those that received the circumcision of the Spirit, the cutting away of the old nature, to become true spiritual Israel. So, three different places he says not that Israel according to the flesh is not what the promise is for, that all will be saved, but Israel who converts to become a spiritual creation in Christ Jesus, second born, born again, born of the Spirit, all of spiritual Israel shall be saved. two things that are very important to point out here. Previous chapters, when he's talking about Israel, he says God's no respecter person. In the previous chapter here that we just concluded, that there's no distinction from God's eyes between Jew and Gentile. For those who come to him by faith shall be saved, all those that call on the name of the Lord. He points that out contextually. Paul says that. He says that about Israel three times, and he points that out in two different ways. No respect of person, no distinction between Jew and Gentile. But richly blesses those that come to him by faith. And stating, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, he talks about how they didn't hear Moses giving the actual cry of believing on the salvation, confession being made with the mouth on the salvation in Romans chapter 10. But they did not want to receive the righteousness of God. They rejected it. So it's very clear contextually what he's saying whenever he's saying all of Israel shall be saved here. Spiritual Israel. So let's conclude with what he actually finishes this off with, because this is kind of a tongue twister, so I'm gonna read it all. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. This isn't the word gifts. This is the word charis, graces. For the grace and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past did not believe God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief, talking about the Gentiles, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may also obtain mercy. So he's hoping that Israel will see what God has done for the Gentiles, and then that they'll want to receive that mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. So the point is that God's mercy is available to all who will call on the name of the Lord, and that he's no respecter person. So this is what Romans 11 is saying. So I hope that this gives you a little clarity. I'm Martin Williams with the Good News Jesus Christ.org.